Hi, this is Ray Nedzel, recording for Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Radio shows, interviews, and a whole lot more about what's going on in Charlottesville.
At Charlottesville, in the morning.
Or anytime, that's the idea of my podcast. I'm actually here with my friend Ray Smith, so...
Ray Smith in the morning!
Who is... Part-time morning DJ, apparently. And also currently directing Flying West.
Flying West in the morning.
At Live Arts. You got something for Live Arts? It's Flying West at Live Arts. It opens October 24th. It runs until November 22nd. It takes a break on the weekend of the 8th. But if you come to the Live Arts Gala... then you get to see either a sneak preview if you haven't seen it before, or a refresher if you just saw it the week before. Right. So I'm here with Ray Smith, and I'm also here with Ty Daniels. Hi, Ty.
Hi.
And Ty plays Leah, or Miss Leah, in the...
Miss Leah. See, white folks don't know about Miss in front of first name, so, you know, and also Yankees don't know about that either, you know. Southern folks and black folk, we know about Miss Leah, Miss Sophie, and all that stuff.
For full disclosure, I'm probably a white northerner.
Probably.
definitely white.
he's from Pennsylvania. And, you know, actually, you know, knowing some more people from Pennsylvania, that actually counts as part of Appalachia. You know, so he's got he's a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
This, by the way, is an entire African-American cast.
Yes.
One character is a mulatto. Three of them are sisters.
Yes.
There's four women and two men in the play.
Correct.
And these women, based on a real town, it's not a real story, right? But it's based in real facts. It's
correct.
Based in real. They traveled post slavery to Nicodemus, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. During the Exoduster period of American history.
And they were allowed to set up homesteads. And Ty, who plays Miss Leah, actually established one of these homesteads and was buying acreage for about $12 an acre or so, and has lived there sort of as a mother, grandmother figure to these sisters, Minnie, Franny, Fanny, and Sophie. And then Minnie gets married and leaves and goes to London for a while. In the play, she comes back. I tell you what, let me let you tell me what happens in the play.
You've got it right, Ray. That is generally what happens. That's where the play starts off. We are introduced to Miss Leah. How would you describe Miss Leah, Ty?
As you said earlier, Miss Leah is definitely a strong motherly, grandmotherly figure. In this particular show, she's seen as the grandmother to a lot of the community, even. I imagine her as not just for the immediate family. And one thing I find interesting about the show is it really focuses, well, not really focuses, but there's sort of an underlying tone of or understanding of redefining family, because the sisters aren't all blood related, and you may or may not pick up on that. You know, Miss Leah is not really blood related to them, as far as we know. But to understand the sense of community and having the need to establish these relationships for one's personal development and for sake of community and strength and building up those bonds that were horribly torn down and destroyed during the slavery period. So it was just really interesting to see how these women worked and forged their way, not only on the frontier externally, but even within themselves and their sense of family and livelihood that they committed.
But in this particular family, that's, well, are the three sisters actual sisters?
Two of them are blood sisters. And the third one, I don't know if we want to really go into all of this before people actually see
it. No,
that's
fine.
It is?
That's
but,
fine.
Yes, the there is a sister who is called Sister Sophie. And mm-hmm. It took a while for me, even reading the script, I didn't necessarily make that connection at first, but it took a while for me to realize it's more of, I imagine her at least, as more of the big sister of the family, based on the role that she played coming into the lives of these two young girls.
Yeah, big sister, but actually, She is their mother figure.
She is.
She's only a couple of years older than Fanny, but basically she, in the backstory, she came to their house when offering to do laundry when she was 16, and Minnie was nearly a baby. Both of the older sisters are like about 15 years older.
Fan was about 12 at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually,
at the time, the play takes place in 1898, and the two older sisters are in their mid-30s, and the youngest sister is 21. And so the family... So the two older sisters, and definitely the grandmother figure, Miss Leah, have all been through slavery. And so Sophie, her parents are gone. Slavery took her parents. And sickness actually took the parents of Fanny and Minnie. And so when she came to the door, Sophie saw a need there and became the mother-like figure after their parents had died.
And so they... they lived in this household as a family.
Exactly. Yes.
They all fill those roles, and
they traveled as a family. And this is in Memphis. This is Deep South, Jim Crow era time style stuff. And then later, as adults, they move out west.
Oh, they all moved out west together. Well,
yes,
that's great. So, and then also before the point of attack of the script, Minnie gets married and moves to London. Is that right?
Correct.
And the play starts. She comes back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And with her new husband Frank,
An educated mulatto,
and he is coming back because unfortunately his white father just died, and he's coming back because there's going to be some inheritance.
Exactly.
So it's interesting that there are these these wild, not you know, wild west, not wild, but these like
no.
homestead. House full of black women living here in the prairie. They got shot
in an all black town.
In an all black town, which is still in existence in America today.
Nicodemus still does really exist on the map, but that's about it. No one lives in the town. There is, I've been told that there is a museum that is there to indicate that it once was an all black pioneer town, but. Yeah, it just development over the years has pulled people away from it, and now it is just a spot on the Kansas map.
So come to Live Arts October 24th through November 22nd. See Flying West in the Upstage and relive a bit of American history.
American history! Rock!
Well, I have to ask this now, Ray, because obviously I know you best, and lots of people in this town know you best for comedy, for improvisational comedy,
mm-hmm.
for being funny, you know, always the funniest guy in the room.
Except when you're in it.
Thank you very much.
So Ty is acting all like, she is all like proper, I am on the radio, I am an educated black woman, I'm
going to speak properly. Ty has no need to act as if she's educated, proper, et cetera, and so forth. She is who she is, therefore she has no need to.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is backstage, it's just about midnight after a long night of rehearsal, and tensions are raring at Live Arts, we're Flying West.
Absolutely.
Cast and director.
Yeah, sure, I'm the class clown, Ray. I'm the
Well, I was gonna say,
I'm the funny one, but I am a black man first.
That. Are you able to bring comic elements out, or do you want to bring those comic elements out? What's it like for you working on this this not comedy, this serious drama?
This is fine for me. This is in line with what I've always done from the beginning of, I don't know if you would call it career, hobby, life passion, as an actor. From the beginning, I've done dramatic works of African-American theater. The first play I did was The Color Museum by George C. Wolfe. I've done The Wiz, Raisin in the Sun. When I lived in Toronto recently, I played Philip Khosana, a South African civil rights leader.
And I've seen you do Raisin in the Sun. That's mm-hmm. That was a great production here at Live Arts that you were part of,
yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to this. I actually think that when someone has a really strong powerful internal sense of their own comedy. They don't have to try to be funny all the time. They just they just have that. They can bring out a really good human element. I think that's exactly. That's why you're good at improv, because your improv characters are you know, based in the emotion that it springs up for you. So
yeah.
What was it like for you? Was Ray funny in rehearsal?
You know what? I'll preface this by saying they didn't know nothing about me. And I intentionally, hid that from them so I could... Yeah, I intentionally hid that from them because I didn't want them to try to jock power from me.
Okay, no. So Ty, let me ask you about Miss Leah. I don't want to give away pleasure of coming to see the play, but... So what was it like for you when you read Miss Leah, auditioned for it until now? Was it the same? How has this character, this fictional character, grown for you as you grow in portraying her?
Well, when I first read the script, I absolutely fell in love with Miss Leah's character. I felt that this was the woman, for me, I had to audition for her. And I remember after the first, I think it was after the first rehearsal, I said, "Thank you so much for giving me Miss Leah," because she's a jewel. She's such a jewel. You hold her up and you see so many facets of the human experience in this one person. You were speaking of comedy earlier. Miss Leah has the comedy within her. You know, sometimes when you go through some of the most traumatic experiences, comedy is an awfully helpful tool for coping. At the same time, she's very much grounded in the reality of her experiences, and so she's got so much wisdom to impart. And so I think the beauty of all that Miss Leah is something that really could draw the audience in if they allow it to just speak to them. You know, she's got so much to say. There are moments where what she shares, be it in an actual line or just a look, could make an audience member feel so many different ways connected with, you know, their own experiences, given whatever they're in the mood for when they come. You know, if you're coming to the show to have a moment of relaxation and laughter, then it's there for you. If you're coming to the show to have a sense of history and to, you know, maybe walk away being empowered with an element that's not really addressed much in terms of American history, then it's there for you. You know, there's so many things that anyone could really get out of the show that I think Miss Leah sort of touches on so many of those parts that I'm excited to be able to play her.
Well, thanks, Ty. That's Ty Daniels again, who is playing Miss Leah in Flying West at Live Arts, which runs October 24th through November 22nd in the Upstage. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi, Jared.
What's up, man?
Jared and Carrie, they are in the cast of Flying West. And just who just walked up to the microphone here is?
Sharon Milner.
Sharon Milner. Maybe a little bit louder, Sharon.
Sorry, Sharon Milner.
So Jared and Carrie and Sharon are in the play. They just finished a rehearsal. It's almost 11 o'clock. They have two more rehearsals before opening night.
That's correct.
Yes, we do.
On Friday. So let me start with Jared. Jared, what is your character's name, and what is your character all about?
I am playing Will Parrish, who befriends the family of sisters in Kansas. Kind of tries to take care of them, look after them, and has a special affliction for one of the sisters.
A special likeness, a special attraction,
if you will. Yeah. Kind of sweet on her, you know.
Well, let me go to Carrie now. And Carrie, I can have Carrie, if you don't mind, start, and you guys can fill in. Just tell me a little bit about the play.
Well, it's written by Pearl Klieg, who is a great African-American writer. She's produced several plays. She's actually out of Atlanta, Georgia. So she's there, and she has her own theater there. So this is really cool that we're doing this. It's directed by Ray Smith. And it's a wonderful cast. We've been working really hard. We've been working for about 2 months now. We started hard from the beginning, no slack at all. But the play is about three sisters and their grandmother figure, and they are all in Nicodemus, Kansas, and they're trying to basically have all color town, and just develop it and be strong in the area without dependent on being dependent on white farmers.
Based on true events.
Yeah.
Post Civil War, that generation.
So it could be true.
Oh, certainly.
So in Flying West at Live Arts opens October 24th, and Flying West is set, what year is Flying West set in?
1897, something like that.
It's in the 1890s.
Set in the 1890s, and it's based on a town, a real town, where freed slaves were allowed to go and to set up homesteads.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, although it's a work of fiction, it's based in, you know, in American history.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Indeed.
Correct.
You kind of get that with the characters too, I think, and the cast has done a pretty good job of delivering that.
Capturing the true element.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a story about family and taking care of family. And it's not just, you know, an issue. I think that everybody can relate to having a family and having that strong family unit and trying to be a part of that family unit. So I think that it's more than just about going west, and it's more than just about these African-American women, but it's, I think, a story that everybody can relate to.
I'm Sharon Milner, and I am playing Minnie Charles.
And Minnie Charles is one of the sisters?
She's one of the sisters. She's the youngest sister.
Hence the name Minnie.
Yes. And Minnie has this life where she's moved off. She's gotten married to her husband named Frank, and they've lived this life in London of luxury and privilege. Minnie's husband is a mulatto, and so his father was a very wealthy man in New Orleans, very wealthy white man in New Orleans, so he's helped furnish his son's life. Well, then we're coming back because Minnie's husband's father passed away, so we're coming to the reading of the will. And so on our way back, since we're coming back to the States, I insist upon coming to visit my sisters.
And does your husband get along with your sisters?
Well, you'll have to come to the play and see. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
So you get away, and you come back.
Yes.
So that's one sister. And Carrie, you play another sister.
Mm-hmm. Sophie Washington.
Sophie?
Uh-huh.
So, and there's another sister.
Fanny Dove.
Fanny Dove. Mm-hmm. And there's, you said, a grandmother figure.
Miss Leah.
Miss Leah. Is she someone's grandmother?
Not by blood, but we've kind of adopted her as a grandmother.
Right.
And she was one of the homesteaders that was there before us, and our parents, Story and my parents, had passed away. So she kind of becomes our main maternal figure.
And then Jared, you play
neighbor
suitor.
Exactly.
Potential, something like that.
So let me ask Jared, is this your first live arts production?
This is, yes. I have very little acting experience, I guess, but this is my first one in a few years, first one here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Carrie, I know that you've been acting in Charlottesville and beyond,
mm-hmm.
and you're back in Charlottesville for a while.
Yes.
So it's Live Arts luck to have you be back in town. And
thank you.
When you get to do this role. So are you planning on staying here in Charlottesville?
Nope, I'll be leaving in March.
You got to come to the show then. You got to come. It's maybe your last chance to catch Carrie.
Yes.
She's a superstar,
phenomenal. Carrie Stewart.
Everybody is equally phenomenal. It's a great cast. You wouldn't even know it was Jared Ivory's first show. He's great on stage.
Definitely.
It's very generous of you.
And you can tell by the voice, ladies, so come and see.
Y'all trying to make me blush.
Yes.
So, cool. Now I'm here with Story Ayers, who plays Franny.
Fanny. Fanny Mae Dove.
Fanny Mae Dove. And Fanny Mae Dove is...
Dove.
Thank you,
You're
Story,
welcome.
For correcting me. Let me ask you this: is Fanny a feisty character?
Fanny is not.
She's not
feisty. There's a moment when she does get a little feisty, but she's one of those quiet, mild-mannered, Christian, God-fearing women that dream of love, take care of the home, loves family,
loves the relationship she has with the other family members, the other characters on stage. She's not quite as feisty as Sophie, her oldest sister.
And is Fanny the sister who is being wooed by Will?
Yes, she is. This is Fanny's first true love interest, and aww, she believes in Will and what he has to offer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it, but I hope it's good news in the end. So in you live your character lives in Nicodemus, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And who do you live with?
I live with my sister Sophie, and Miss Leah is staying with us. She's been staying with us for a while, and we're trying to get her to permanently stay with us.
Oh, and she's like a mother or like a grandmother?
Yes, she's like a
character.
Grandmother.
And then in the story, why don't you tell me what happens in the story? Don't spoil it, of course, but your sister comes back and...
Sister comes back, and we're excited for her return. She's been
baby
gone for
sister.
A while. Baby sister. It's the youngest sister of the three of us. And we're excited for her return. She's been gone for a while. But things aren't quite what they were when she left. So it's sort of a surprise and a shocker when she gets back. But we band together and we handle it like a family would.
Let me just—I'll say this just in case anyone missed it or hasn't been said before. The play takes place, I believe, in 1898.
Mm-hmm.
Takes place 1898 in Nicodemus, Kansas, which is a real town.
Yes.
And it was established by freed slaves who were given this opportunity to own this land.
They're, yes. It's a part of the Exodusters movement.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was they, just like the character says in the play, Miss Leah, they plunked down $12 for a piece of land, and they're trying to stay on it long enough to own it.
And the land then becomes much more valuable than...
Yes,
than,
it does. It goes up in property value.
And I think that plays into the storyline.
It does.
It does. that's good. So is this the first show you've done at Live Arts?
This is my first show I've done at Live Arts. This is not my first show ever, but I am new to the theater world, the acting business. I'm a student at Mary Baldwin, and this is my senior year, so this is my third year acting.
Oh, so you're a student at Mary Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
In your final year?
Yes.
And what are you studying at Mary Baldwin?
I'm a theater major.
Oh, okay. So you've done theater there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your first live arts?
Yes.
Well, I welcome to the live arts
stage.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to seeing the show. I've had a chance to read it, and as you know, I came and sat in an early rehearsal.
Yes.
And the story is that it's based in reality. It's based
yes.
in facts,
mm-hmm.
And yet it's a work of fiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fascinating. And
it is.
I think Miss Leah's story, as I was telling someone else earlier, is you realize like the her life. She's happy right now.
Yes.
And her life has not always been a life that would have made someone happy.
Yes.
And when she starts revealing her story, it really, it's the epitome to me of just realizing how trivial some of my daily, trials and tribulations are. I don't want to give it away because it's such a powerful life that she's lived.
It is.
And
I've delved deep into the background to this story, in particular my character and Miss Leah's character, and it is touching. I don't really want to give anything away, but it is very touching. Mm-hmm. It is a very moving play, and with some spectacular surprises. So, but I'm invested in the show. This is my senior project. This is my thesis. So it's very important for me, and I know that there will be a lot of Mary Baldwin people here, a lot of professors and students, and they're excited.
And this is women on the frontier.
Yes.
Toting shotguns and
yes.
Yes. And homesteading and
mm-hmm.
and just
doing what men
you know, try to tell us what to do, but we already know what to do.
And do you think that's one of the reasons that there's it seems like that your character is cautious in courting Will or allowing Will to court you? Is it maybe because here we have these really strong women making this household work? And
it is that, and you know, men come with a lot of things, not just love, and so that plays a part in the cautiousness of Fanny. But Fanny has seen a lot of things in life with her parents, mm-hmm. And her only hope for Will, which makes her, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt that her mother, you know, taught her and raised her to do, is Minnie and Frank. And so when things aren't quite what they seem, you know, she kind of begins to lose a little hope, but she pulls it together. She pulls it together. She is cautious. Throughout her life, sometimes, you know, she realized that it seemed like there was a pattern between the love between a black man and a black woman taking an evil turn somewhere mm-hmm. along the way. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with her hesitance to see.
Here's something that I often find interesting is that when you audition for the play, when you first read the play, mm-hmm. until now, you're 2 days away from opening or 3 days away from opening.
One day
away from opening. Oh, God. How has your perception of your character grown? I mean, if you talk about like what you read it off the page, you think, oh, I know this woman to be this, and now that I'm going through this process of trying to portray her, you know, how has that morphed?
You know, that's a very interesting story for me. I'll try to keep it brief, but when I first read the play, I just knew that Fanny couldn't be someone that I could play. I didn't think that I could portray her because we're so different. Mm-hmm. We're so different. Mm-hmm. And Fanny keeps her cool and Fanny's loving. And not to say that I don't keep my cool and I'm not loving, but I'm a lot more feisty, like we were talking about earlier. I'm feisty, you know? Mm-hmm. And so reading this, I'm like, man, she's just off the list, you know? I wouldn't get cast for her. I'm not going to, you know, get that part. You know, who else is there? Mm-hmm. And to get that call and to be told, you know, we'd like you to play Fanny, I was just like, man, what am I going to do? But I have a great cast. I've made some great friends, and they really helped me, being in the business longer than me and me being the youngest member of the cast. They really helped me understand her. They really helped me pull this together and to help me with my senior paper. But they really pulled it together, and as time goes on, I understand her more and more, and I'm able to relate to her in a lot of the decisions that she makes in her thought process. Mm-hmm. I've really been able to push forward with that and grow with that, and I didn't think I could.
Wow, I can't wait to see it in one night. and so I've been talking to Story Ayers, mm-hmm. who plays Fanny in Live Arts production of Flying West, which opens October 24th and runs through November 22nd.
Yes.
Taking a break on November 8th.
Yes.
For the gala, Live Arts Fabulous Gala, in which if you come to the gala, you'll get to see either a recap of the play, if you've already seen the play, or a sneak preview of the play, mm-hmm. because you're going to be doing a snippet
yes.
six times, I believe, right?
Yes, we are, but I'm not going to say which one.
Okay, well, I'll have to come see the play, and I'll have to come to the gala.
Yes, you will.
Well, thank you very much, Story. I look forward to seeing you. I'll be here night
okay.
and break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I hope you're not ending, because I think this interview needs to end with us hearing from Miss Leah. Do you have one in mind? Because if you don't, I got one for you. All right. At the breakfast table with Minnie and Sophie, that one you tell there.
Okay, Ray, the director. It's Ray Smith, the director of Flying West, this is Ray Nedzel. I've had the pleasure of talking with Ty Daniels and with Ray Smith and a bunch of other members of the cast. I hope you come see the show. It runs from October 24th to November 22nd. And we're going to end this interview with Ty Daniels giving a small taste of Miss Leah from Flying West by Pearl Clegg.
These young women wouldn't have lasted a minute before the war. Overseer make you squat right down beside the field and drop your baby out like an animal. All 10 of my sons was born after sundown because it was the only way to be sure I could lay down to have them.
Well, how did they know that it was sundown?
I knew it. And if I felt them trying to come out early, I'd hold them up in there and wouldn't let them. Bad enough being born a slave without some peckerwood overseer watching them take their first breath of life before they daddy done seen if they're a boy or a girl child.
This is Ray Nutzel recording for the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Radio shows, interviews, and a whole lot more about what's going on in Charlottesville at cvillepodcast.com.
Miss Leah in the morning.
I don't know what you want.
That was good. Don't put that on there. That was good. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.